Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Monday morning. Boomer will be back tomorrow. That means we've got Jerry in for Boomer, CeeLo in for Jerry. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Gee, what's up, man?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm doing okay. Are you doing okay?
Yeah. Very well, actually.
You're healthy. There's no issues
good.
At all.
Had a great weekend, and off to the Big Ten tournament this week. So all is good.
I had a great weekend as well. However, these injuries piling up was the only thing that was really negative. And then this is going to be a huge week for the NFL, by the way. It already has been.
About yesterday.
It was a huge weekend, and it's going to be, today is the 12 p.m. tampering situation. I mean, I love how they do legal tampering, but you know they tamper even before the legal tampering.
For sure.
Because there's going to be deals that happen right at noon.
At noon, you're going to see this happen, that happen, and you're like, wait a minute, I thought it just started.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no question about it. It's one of the more gross rules that they have in the league.
Well, there's really no reason to have that rule, I don't think. I mean, it's just basically free agency starts. If you're a free agent, you can talk to the team that you were with, and if they don't want you, you should be able to negotiate as soon as the season's over. I mean, that's the way it should be. It's basically what happens anyway. But yes, of course, you get the Gerrit Cole news that he may need Tommy John and might be out for the year. You throw that on top of Luis Gil. That is bad news for the Yankees. And then Francisco Alvarez with the hammock bone injury. So he's going to be out for a while. And there's really just, it's amazing how many injuries have piled up there. So that is that's a big story. But I did want to start with the wildness of the NFL and DK Metcalf getting traded to the Steelers, Geno Smith getting traded to the Raiders, Myles Garrett signing a massive contract, and now we got to see where all these other quarterbacks go, as this is going to be just wild. And really, none of them, outside of Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think he could really play much anymore, but, you know, we're so into the NFL and things that go on in the offseason that, like, Sam Darnold and where he goes and Daniel Jones, mm-hmm. he ends up, like, these are some of the things that we're talking about. And where do these guys go? And where does Kirk Cousins go? And all of these things when these guys aren't even all that good to begin with. But it's going to be really interesting to see where the Giants and Jets end up with quarterbacks.
Well, to go back to a couple of things you said, number one, the whole Myles Garrett, I want to go somewhere where I can win. Yeah. Or do you just want to be paid? I mean, that's the one thing that's so funny about all of these guys. I do think there's a handful of players that winning is the most important thing. But let's be honest, money talks and BS is blah, blah, blah. You know how that phrase goes. So he goes back to Cleveland after he had to get out and trash talk them, essentially.
He wrote a letter to the fans and basically said, it was never about Cleveland right to the Hall of Fame. I got to go win a championship. Sorry, guys. And then
you want $40 million a year?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I talked to LeBron about this, and then he's going around Radio Row negotiating basically on the air and then just takes the money, so he's a fraud.
So you get that. The DK Metcalf one is interesting because you don't have a quarterback in Pittsburgh right now. Did you see the Big Ben put out the video?
Yes, with the helmet on,
So it's funny. I went and looked. So you've got, and you know, Tom Brady played into his 40s, and you got Aaron Rodgers, whether he's good or not, is playing into his 40s, and I'm thinking, could Ben Roethlisberger, he's 43.
Yeah.
He's a little older than I thought, actually.
Yeah, he's a year older than me. I always remembered that. And I think he might be turning 44. I think his birthday is sometime in March.
Okay, so soon actually. To be 44.
Yeah, so I think he's going to be 44 soon. But no, he's a guy that got through his NFL career with more grit and guile than physical impressiveness.
Sure.
Like, even though Tom Brady wasn't the greatest athlete in the world, he kept himself in phenomenal shape and was just so sharp when it came to being a quarterback. Ben was never that guy. And if you ever saw him, like, in the locker room, you'd look at him, he didn't have that look like, man, this guy could play forever.
Like a regular dude.
Yeah,
Bigger guy. So you have that in Pittsburgh, which is interesting since they do need a quarterback. You're hearing rumors of Sam Darnold now. Who the hell knows where these guys are going to go? But it's interesting. But the one that really came out of left field for me that you mentioned that I took a double take was the Seahawks trading Geno Smith to the Raiders. What?
Yeah. Well, it looks like they're going, they're trading DK Metcalf too, so they're just going. Yeah, they're going in a totally different direction. But yeah, and for a third round pick, by the way, Geno Smith's like 35 now.
Yeah, I know.
A third round pick, that just seems crazy that the Raiders would have given that up for Geno Smith at 35 years old. But yeah, so that ends that whole Sam Darnold thing there. And I wonder if that ends them drafting a quarterback. I don't think so.
Meaning Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas.
I wouldn't think either. I mean, if you're talking about Geno Smith being 35, my guess is that he goes to Vegas with Pete Carroll, and their idea is maybe they can be a competent football team for a year or two while the rookie quarterback they draft. Kind of like what we're looking here with the Giants. You want, and the Jets, I suppose. You want to get a quarterback. Maybe you don't want to play him right away and have that veteran presence to kind of help him along. And next year, he's ready to play. Maybe that's what Vegas is thinking, too. And Geno Smith is their guy to do that. I don't know. He knows, obviously knows Pete Carroll. Then the Seahawks in a complete rebuild. But it used to be, for me, baseball in, November was exciting with where the players were going to go. Then it started to get dragged out, not as exciting anymore. And the NFL has completely taken over the offseason in terms of, I don't know if excitement's the right word, but intrigue with where guys go and free agent and movements and then the draft in April. And we got two crappy teams like we had. You've got high draft picks. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah, and Aaron Rodgers has a couple places that he could go. The Giants still a possibility.
Minnesota.
Yeah, I know.
Why does this follow you?
It's Daniel Jones, Sam Darnold, Aaron Rodgers. I know. It's crazy.
It's hilarious.
It really is. I don't think if they end up bringing Aaron Rodgers in, that means that there's something going on with J.J. McCarthy that they're not letting on. Because everything that you had heard early on from him is how into it he was and how even with the injury, he was there and he was studying and he's ready to go. If they bring in Aaron Rodgers and don't hand the keys over to J.J. McCarthy, that means that he is still hurt or he's not mature enough. And the latter, I kind of think, is maybe what's going on.
Or maybe they don't think he'll be 100% at the start of the season, but might be maybe towards October, November. All of those are possibilities.
It's a tough thing to bench Aaron Rodgers, though, unless he's playing terrible or he's hurt.
I do agree with that. I will tell you, the leader in the clubhouse for me was Aaron Rodgers to the Giants, just because I thought it would be fun around here.
Yeah.
And we could have to deal with him again for one more year, right, wrong, or indifferent. But I got to tell you, Aaron Rodgers to the Vikings just surpassed that for me, because to have to watch you root for him would be phenomenal.
Well, I already did this with Brett Favre.
Oh, I know, but now you're sitting here with us.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, in the Brett Favre thing, I hated it when it first happened. I said, this is not the way I want things to go. And I said, even if he played well, it'd be like, we're doing it with the Packers guy. But then that changed really quickly with the season.
Played off the charts.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't throw any picks in the regular season. He threw the big pick in the NFC Championship game, obviously. But I mean, it was awesome to watch. So I got over that really quickly. Yeah. And I'd get over the Aaron Rodgers thing, too, if he played well. I just don't think he's going to be able to stay healthy. I just really don't believe that. And I also don't think that he has, like, Brett Favre had this thing out for the Packers, and I'm not sure that Aaron Rodgers has that same thing out for the Packers, because Brett Favre was trying to get to Minnesota before he ended up going to the Jets. Aaron Rodgers wanted to go to the Jets.
Correct.
And the reason why Brett Favre wanted to go to Minnesota is so he could beat the Packers. That's what he wanted to do. So I would think for Aaron Rodgers, I would say that the Steelers and the Vikings are two good places for him to land. But if the Vikings are actually interested in him, he should probably go there. But then again, he's living Brett Favre's life.
I thought that too. I said that to my son last night. Is he trying to be Brett Favre? Like, what the hell is he doing? But that having been said, if you just talk about talent that would be on a roster and an offense that he would go to, boy, man, I'm not saying Sam Darnold didn't play great last year. He did. But that's a hell of an offensive team that he was playing for and under center for. And if I was Aaron Rodgers and I'm looking around, That's pretty good. I mean, you got arguably the best receiver in the game there. Their offensive line is pretty damn good. And all of a sudden, if you're talking about him dropping back, surveying the field, he can still throw the ball. It could be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and then he would have to listen to Kevin O'Connell, though. I mean, that's the thing. He's got to come in. He can't do the stuff that he's been doing his entire career. He's got to listen to a coach. And I don't know if he's capable of that either. I don't want it to happen because I just think that he's destined to get hurt and it's just going to be a failure. But I'm a little bit worried about this J.J. McCarthy. I was always worried about him. Yet he plays the clip when I said this guy's going to stink in the NFL. But if they're, I mean, yeah. They draft this guy number 10 overall. They're all jacked up about it. He gets hurt. He's out for the whole year. And now we're talking about, and he got hurt early, man. That was right. Training camp. So now we're talking about maybe him not starting this year with all those guys that you drafted last year, the draft starting and having success. That means something's up.
And you are right that it would be hard to bench Aaron Rodgers unless he was atrocious, obviously. But if he's playing even mediocre and the team's okay and keeping their head above water, it could be a completely lost year for McCarthy again. Very possible.
Yeah, I think Daniel Jones is going to be their starting quarterback to start the season. I honestly believe that the Vikings are going to start the season with Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback and J.J. McCarthy backing up, and then
wouldn't
we'll
that
see
be
what
something?
Happens.
My God.
Sam Darnold and Daniel God. Jones.
I mean,
all you
world.
Need is Zach Wilson to somehow pop in there, right?
Yes. Exactly.
My Lord.
Maybe the Giants sign Zach Wilson. Who knows?
Yeah. And I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I don't think Aaron Rodgers goes there, but I guess the Jets now are very interested in Justin Fields.
Yeah, I know. So what you said in the beginning is so true. Like, we're so jacked up about the NFL and the player movement and the names, and yet while we talk about these quarterbacks, they're all average. Mm. Like, a lot of them, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them are very average quarterbacks, but it's almost like we're hoping that by putting on a different jersey and different colors that all of a sudden, maybe if Justin Fields comes to the Jets, things click in the NFL for him. You know, there's a lot of people that will tell you, and I didn't watch the Steelers every week when he started, but I know where they were 4-2, I think, when he was starting. They were winning games. And there would be people that would tell you, if you would have given him the opportunity to continue, he would have got better and better. So maybe the Jets saw that. I don't know. He is a kid with a lot of ability. He can play different ways, as we know. Maybe today's NFL maybe suits him. But he has not been a great quarterback in the league yet, and that would be, okay, Justin Fields. All right.
Yeah, I mean, he's young. He's athletic. He could be exciting. I mean, it's definitely different than bringing in a dusty Aaron Rodgers for another year or Kirk Cousins. But this year for the Jets is, I know that people look at this roster and think that they can win right away because everybody was so excited about what they could do when Aaron Rodgers got here because of all the players that they have.
Yeah.
These guys, to me, they're most of them are overrated because they haven't done a damn thing.
Right. And let's talk about the defense specifically, because there have been games over the last couple of years that one stop and they win the game and unable to get off the field.
Yeah, so how good really is the roster? So, I mean, I think that this year is about, you know, establishing whatever Aaron Glenn wants this team and this culture to be. And although they're going to want to win games, of course, they're not doing what the Giants are doing, meaning that they have to find a way to keep their jobs. They've got a pass this year, Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji. They basically have a pass. They can't go, you know, 1-16 or whatever. But they're just trying to get all the gunk out of the building and start over and try to be the regime that turns this thing around, where Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are just spinning on, you know, around and around with no quarterback in a year that basically, you know, they're in front of the firing squad.
Very much so. And remember, when you say they get a pass, and you know, it's their first year, of course they will get a pass. There's no doubt. But remember the last time we did that with a coach around here? His name was Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
And he went into a season with a stripped down roster where we knew it was going to be bad. And we knew that they were going to be in the top five of the NFL draft the next year. And we knew that he was coming back. Until he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And until it got so bad that was out the window, the whole pass thing, because they were just dreadful. Even though they played the way we kind of thought they would play, then he was out. And I'm not saying Todd Bowles should have stayed and he was a great coach. Not at all. But we went into a season saying this is going to be a bad year for the Jets. They lack talent. It's about next year and beyond. And it still was heave-ho.
Yeah. And we've seen guys get fired now, you know, not even finishing out the first year in places. And after the first year as well, like Frank Reich in Carolina, Nate Hackett with the Broncos, Steve Wilks got fired after 1 year in Arizona.
We just saw it with Antonio Pierce, a year and a half, but still, he got the permanent job, and 1 year in, out.
Yeah. So, I mean,
it doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't.
You win or you get fired. Like, that's it.
Well, it's got to look like something's happening.
I agree with that, too. Right. You can make a case the Giants could end up going 5-12. God dare I say it, 5-12 this year, but they look like an NFL football team, and they're scoring points, and they're young, and they're figuring it out. I agree with you. But in the end, you got
to
win.
Well, in that scenario, it has to be a young quarterback that's out there looking like he could be the future. That's the only way. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to trade up to get him. I mean, they desperately wanted Matthew Stafford, which told me a lot about how they felt about these guys in the draft. But it's going to go fast and furious, man. I mean, there's probably guys right now that are at MetLife Stadium and at Florham Park.
You're probably right
about
that.
From other teams that are going to be signing contracts and are getting up in that hotel there that's right next to the Jets facility. Yeah. They're going to walk in there and sign a deal. And then at noon, they're going to have like a little lunch spread and a cheers.
I watched 60 Minutes last night with Danny Hurley. And he was talking about, and this is college sports, and my point is, with the NFL, you know what's happening if it's happening in college. Danny Hurley said that he believes 50%, now think about what this program has done at UConn the last couple of years. National champions, maybe a little bit of a down year this year, but they still won 20 games. They're still going to the NCAA tournament, so there's still a lot that they've accomplished and can accomplish. He said on the show last night that he believes more than 50% of his roster are already... their minds are in the transfer portal, and worse, probably already know where they're going next year and what kind of NIL they're going to get. So that's college athletics. Now you bring it to the NFL where the season's been over. You've got the tampering period starting today at noon. They can actually sign deals Wednesday at 3 o'clock. You're damn well right that they know what they're doing. They've talked to people already, and they probably are on the premises this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Like, who's going to stop them?
Nobody. And the NFL shouldn't, by the way, because it makes for great entertainment. And it's an off season that everybody's going to talk about, and we talk constantly about how slow the baseball off season is and how annoying that is.
Oh, brutal!
The NFL is the exact opposite,
yep.
And it's just going to go for the rest of the week.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry in for Boomer. That means we got CeeLo today. What's happening, Chris?
Good morning. How we doing?
I'm doing well. I'm feeling pretty good. It was a really fun weekend. I did sleep in a hotel, though, on Saturday night out in Greenport and got one of those
neck ache situations. Neck shoulder.
Yeah.
Need a massage.
Well, I have that Theragun thing.
Okay.
So I brought it with me driving, and I was and it worked.
Good. Oh, yeah. Theragun's great.
Yeah, so
got
I had
the knots
that.
Out.
Yeah, yeah. And I was going to bring it in, and then I was like, nah, I don't want to do that all day. But I'll do it on the way home, but it feels a little bit better. But that's about it. So if I if my whole body turns to you like that, that's what's going on.
You don't have the range of motion just yet.
No, not right now.
Okay.
But I'll get back
early.
There.
You'll get there. We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So I'm glad you had a nice weekend because it was not a great weekend for New York sports yet again. And I know you guys were in here Friday. You covered the Jalen Brunson injury. Knicks lost again Friday night. Giancarlo Stanton may end up needing season-ending surgery on these elbow issues, which he called severe, which apparently stem from the swing adjustments that he's made over time. So you got that. The Rangers blew a 3-1 lead and lost in overtime Saturday in Ottawa with Brady Tkachuk netting the game winner. That was rough.
That's good they bounced back yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's at the end of this list here. Brandon Nimmo was supposed to return to the Met lineup. He can only ramp it up to 85% running because of the knee. So that got pushed back. Garrett Cole probably needs Tommy John surgery. Francisco Alvarez fractured the hamate bone in his left hand. He's out 6 to 8 weeks. And then, yes, to cap it off, the Rangers in a very important game after tying the game with not one, but two shorthanded goals on the same penalty kill that allowed four unanswered goals and lost 7-3.
All right, thanks,
so that's pretty much how the weekend went
optimistic.
As far as the pro sports teams are concerned. So that's not great. Yes, you do have NFL legal tampering beginning today at noon. Teams are permitted to speak with pending free agents from rival clubs. I don't know if this is unrelated, but Twitter is a mess right now. Like you
in
can't,
what regard?
It's not, you can't, it's
it doesn't
not working.
Work?
So I don't know. Maybe they're doing a little, a little refresher of the server ahead of all the activity that's coming later today, but looks like maybe it's back now, but I couldn't get anything to work out there in the newsroom.
Yeah, maybe it's our internet.
Time ago. Could be.
By the way, speaking of Twitter and NFL, I just thought of this when I'm looking at Al, and you know how he doesn't want his, I shouldn't even say his athletes, he doesn't watch anything, but like he doesn't want athletes doing anything that might injure them, especially if they're in line for a big contract. And I don't know if this is real, so I'm going to preface it by saying this could be a ball sack sports spot. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
Please, if you could, and you tell me if it's real or not, Micah Parsons is up for a big deal with the Cowboys, correct? Anybody?
Miles Garrett one, yeah.
Yeah. Take a look at the video that was posted of him petting a lion. Now, maybe this is AI. Maybe this was 5 years ago.
He went on that trip with C.J. Stroud, and you know they did the sumo wrestling and everything. So
I remember that.
I wouldn't be surprised if this was part of the...
He's sitting down next to a lion and petting it like it's a pussycat.
Mm.
That thing could have turned around and eaten him. What is going on?
Maybe the lion was tranquilized. Is that possible?
It was wide awake. Now, you want to tell me they shot a sedative into it?
That's
maybe.
What I mean. Yeah, yeah.
It's Sorry, still a not... lion.
Right.
And I know that's his nickname. I mean, give me a
conscious
break.
Lion.
Oh, there it is, yeah.
Is that real?
Yeah, no, that's real, yeah.
I mean...
Well, yeah. I mean, this has to be like a docile lion, right? I mean, they're not...
It's a lion!
They're not putting
it's
him in that
It's the cowardly lion, G.
Good God.
But I mean, so, yeah.
It has to be a docile
lion. It's And by the way... when you were out in your adventure and wherever the hell you were in, where were you at? Montana?
Yellowstone.
Yeah, okay, fine. Oh. And you had... What were those animals that were walking past you? Like five...
Bison.
Did you see the video of the bison that hit the woman and shot her up into the air? That could have been you.
Yeah, well, you know.
Not with that big jacket on.
Oh, there we go. There it is there. It's on CBS Sports Network. Look how slow that thing is.
That's a docile bison.
Yeah, that thing's there. That thing's not looking to hurt anybody. It's just, you know, loitering. Just hanging out.
Anyhow, we're all idiots.
Maybe Micah Parsons will do the Cowboys a favor. He'll get eaten by the lion. They won't have to pay him a long-term contract extension.
I mean, it's very rare that a lion like that is going to...
What do you mean a lion like that?
It's a docile lion.
Well, I'll tell you, a lion that they're having people pet. Like the Siegfried and Roy, they did years and years before
the tiger
ate his face.
Right.
But think about all those years.
One day it snapped.
Right, well, okay.
But you want to take that chance that it's not the day it snaps?
I think I might.
Oh, come on. What a terrible
I honestly might. If I could pet a lion, they're telling me, listen, this lion is done attacking people.
It feels just like a lion. Pet the beard.
I don't think so, man.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
That's fun.
This is crazy.
All right. Speaking of crazy, all the NFL movement before we even get to the 12 o'clock time today in the legal tampering, you've got DK Metcalf going from the Seahawks to the Steelers via trade, plus this extension, which will tack on the 1 year he had left. It'll be 5 years, $150 million from the Steelers. Very un-Steelers.
Yeah, I was
going to
say. It's strange. Yeah. Different for them. You know, they always draft their wide receivers and find
them.
Yeah, and then let them go eventually. Yeah, to trade for a guy and then sign to a big contract from another organization is, yes, very un-Steeler-like.
Yes, especially because their quarterback situation for the moment is unsettled. As far as we know, maybe behind closed doors, they already have a pretty good idea of which direction they're going. You got the Josh Allen record-setting extension, 6 years, $330 million, $250 million guaranteed. It is the largest guaranteed total ever given to an NFL player.
$55 million a year. Go lose to Patrick Mahomes again.
Eventually, they'll win, right?
You know, George Pickens and DK Metcalf have the same number. Think George Pickens just gives it up to DK Metcalf?
Not a chance in hell.
No way. The way that guy is,
no way.
DK Metcalf's going to have to get a different number.
Oof. Or pay him significantly to get him to give it up for sure. You guys touched on Myles Garrett, so obviously so much for leaving town to go win. He stays in Cleveland. He's got a record extension averaging $40 million per year, so the money's just being thrown around, as it always is this time of year as you get into free agency. Were you surprised at all that Devontae Adams settled on his next location before we know where Aaron Rodgers is going? That kind of... Well, I raised my eyebrow at that a little bit.
No.
Okay.
The reason why is because they tried to get back together, and they looked good for a couple games, but it was just like...
It didn't work.
Didn't work, and now, see ya.
I'm not going to do this again and just pair up. I mean,
it felt like more of a Jet thing than a Rodgers Adams thing.
Yeah,
myself.
But I mean, it was just embarrassing, like the way he introduced himself in the background of Rodgers Zoom on McAfee. It just didn't work, you know. Yeah.
And like, to L.A. I mean, good quarterback, good team, good for him.
No, yeah, it's a good landing spot for him for sure. Now that they know that Matthew Stafford's sticking around, so from that standpoint, 2 years for Adams and the Rams. Also from Friday, and I know you guys mentioned it, the Raiders did acquire Geno Smith in a trade with Seattle, so the Seahawks are just selling everybody off, apparently. So Las Vegas gave up a 2025 third-round pick to get Smith back, reuniting him with Pete Carroll. So Geno and Richard Sherman didn't cross paths in Seattle, but Sherman, as you know, still keeps a close eye on that team and will comment on them from time to time. So he's a Geno fan, which is illustrated in this point here and his opinion from his podcast post-trade.
I know that there's a piece of the Seattle Seahawks fan base that feels like, oh, we can do so much better than Geno. No, I don't think you can.
I like the dramatic pause there. Telling the Seahawks fans, yeah, not so much. Yeah, you know, careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Let's go to hoops now. You got the Nets and the Lakers tonight. Coverage on the Fan 720. LA just had its 8-game winning streak snap Saturday in Boston. Knicks at Kings late night out west. That'll be a 10:30 tip from Sacramento. And the Kings coming off of this from last night.
Leonard against the world with 6. Dribbles it with 5. Right elbow with 4. Kawhi with 3. Back to the basket. Spins into the paint. The floater for the win. Rolls in! And the Clippers come back to beat the Kings! 111-110!
Clippers radio, what's so funny?
Blah!
Now, the reason I was surprised to read this morning that was only the second career buzzer-beating winner from Kawhi Leonard.
Point of place.
Well, but the other, of course, being the famous infamous one, playoff buzzer-beater against the Sixers in the conference semis. So, yeah, I mean, I know he doesn't play a lot, but you figured somewhere along the way he would have dropped one at the buzzer, but no, apparently not. Another notable from yesterday or last night, Thunder over the Nuggets, 127-103, 40 points from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as Oklahoma City just continues to roll. And that was after Denver beat the Suns in OT Friday night, 149-141. Did you catch the Jokic stat line in that one?
It was 30, 20, and 20.
31 points, 22 assists, 21 rebounds, first triple-double of its kind.
Yeah, pretty impressive.
So, but yeah, they didn't fare so well against the
Thunder
yesterday. And by the
way, Cleveland's won 14 in a row again.
Yeah, amazing.
Like 50-11.
54-10, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think, something like that.
That sounds right, yeah. 54-10, 54-11, something like that. Big East tournament begins Wednesday. Seton Hall will be the 11th seed. They draw Villanova. The winner plays the 3-seed UConn Thursday night. St. John's is the one. They'll play the winner of Providence and Butler.
Did you see their win Saturday?
Yeah, it was. I'm not to point out the negative, but I'm a little bit concerned about their defense the last couple of
games.
Enough. It's not the same as it was, but I mean, yes, the ending was awesome. It was dramatic.
Storybook.
It's insane what's going on with the season. Yeah, from a positive standpoint, that was great. The end of that game was awesome. But they're giving up too many points. Which means they're also scoring more points, which is a positive. Mm-hmm. But if they're really going to make a run, I mean, they have to be suffocating on defense. So,
speaking of the ending to this Marquette game.
Yeah.
Basically ran out of breath.
RJ Lewis with 10 seconds. 9, 8, 7, 1-on-1. Lewis, straight away 3, bouncing off back iron, no good. Rebound comes to Ross, taken away by Wilson. Edgefor loops it up and good at the buzzer. 10 seconds. How about that? The Red Storm come away with the victory here in Milwaukee, 86-84. Wow.
There's a lot going on in that play.
And no breath. He's giving you all the detail. He's on top of it. He's in his glory. He's having a blast. And as the Johnny's closing out with a victory there.
And you know he's really, really enjoying this.
Oh, he has to.
I mean, this is like as good as it gets for him.
I saw him at UConn. He is enjoying the season very much and hoping for a deep run.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Rutgers will be the 11th seed for this week's Big Ten tournament. They'll face USC in the nightcap Wednesday from Indianapolis. They capped off their regular season with an OT win yesterday.
Patterson, dribble, drive, jump pass, taken away by Harper. Harper.
Now who's this guy?
Goes right at the rim, lays it in. And Rutgers takes a 69-63 lead with 1:42 to go in overtime.
And not Minko quality, but okay.
Look at that. But you got the job done there in overtime against Minnesota.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was a really good game.
And that essentially, because Minnesota's, what, one seed behind them, right?
They would have been the 11.
That was for seeding purposes yesterday.
Correct.
So there you go. Good ending on a high note. and heading into the tournament.
That Michigan game, man.
Yeah.
That Michigan game. Killer.
Yeah, that was rough.
We had it was.
We had some fun with that one. Yeah. The next morning.
I'm sure you did.
Sorry to say.
I'm sure you did.
Well, listen, I can't talk right now because my Rangers had a brutal weekend. We mentioned Saturday blowing the lead in Ottawa. And then again, yesterday they tie the game on home ice against Columbus, a team that's right ahead of them in the wild card race. And they basically fell on their face after that.
And Reamsdyk to Werenski. Outside, that was Corrali with a pass. They score! On the pass from Sean Corrali.
Normally, you try to seize momentum, right? So Chris Kreider scores the shorthanded goal. The second one with Zibanejad, 2-on-0, and they're playing tic-tac-toe with the passing. Garden goes nuts. Kreider's going nuts. And then it's like, that's enough for today. And they gave up two in like a minute 40 seconds at the end of the second period. Couple more in the third. They lose 7-3.
Sam Rosen can't go out like this. The hell with the Rangers.
I don't know,
they
man.
They need to get to the post. He's got to call at least that one round of playoff games.
Well, here's the thing. And a lot of people are like, oh, this the guy, it's the Ranger fan. The season's over. Those two teams. It was terrible. Two teams that they could have gained some points on, but they're still one out.
I know.
So, I mean, there's like 18
games left.
Do it
for Sam. St. John's is doing it for Minko.
I mean, he's trying to weld he's trying to weld them in with his calls when the good things happen.
You know, R.J. Lewis, man, we're just doing this for Mink. None of it really means anything to us personally. We're just doing this for John Minko.
I don't know necessarily. He knows who John Minko
no.
is.
No.
R.J. Lewis?
No.
Come on, Mink. Wait a second.
I'm telling you, these kids are in another world.
If anybody knows, it's him.
I'm not saying they don't recognize
him. You know these guys. I mean, Harper was in here in studio.
Yeah, and if I walked past... That's it.
So you just deal with Pykele.
I deal with
you
coaches.
You don't deal with the coaching
staff.
Players at all.
No, the coaching staff.
Coaching
the players,
staff.
No. There's a couple of them that are incredibly, I don't want to say respectful. They're all respectful, and they're all very nice kids for the most part. But they head down. They get on the bus with their head down, with their headphones on and the phone. They get off the same way. They don't know. You talk to the coaches and the support staff.
That's concerning to me.
Why?
That these guys are not interacting with people? You just said head down on the phone?
They're not interacting with Minko.
All right, with old guys like me. That's what I mean.
What about amongst each other? I would hope.
Yeah, for sure. But that's in the back of the bus.
All right.
That's where they
all
sit.
All the traveling you guys do, the flights, no conversation.
I'm telling you right now, you've got the coaching staff, you've got the players, and you got the rest of us. And the rest.
It's a little depressing.
And the rest. No, it's fine. They're 18 to 19-year-old kids.
I get that. But, I mean, you spend the year, you're covering, you're calling their action.
Yeah.
You know?
There was one time a couple of years ago where, I'm not going to mention the player, but he had been there for a couple of years. That's all I'll say. And at one point on one of these road trips, he says to one of the assistant coaches, "Why do they come with us?" I had no idea what we did, even though we would be sitting there courtside with these things on.
Right.
No idea what we were doing.
You would think, like, you know, somewhere
very
along
funny.
The way, a highlight would make it onto their like social media feed or something.
They're not paying attention to that.
A big shot.
No. They wouldn't know.
All right, fair enough.
Know.
Devils beat the Flyers down in Philly 3-1 behind Jake Allen and Cody Glass, who scored in his Devils debut as they look to solidify their playoff spot, despite all the injuries they've dealt with. And the Islanders did lose to the Ducks out in Anaheim 4-1 after taking down the Sharks the night before. There you have it.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I'm at the age right now, 42, where the older people think I'm young and the younger people think I'm old. So if I say anything to someone, you know, like 55, like, I'm getting old. Like Al is a very young 55, but your regular 55-year-old who's a little bit out of shape and everything else. And I say, man, you know, I'm 42. I'm feeling old. Oh, that's nothing. 42.
Of course.
And then if I'm around someone who's 30 and I say I'm 42, like, oh, my God, you old SOB.
Yes.
So I had one of these experiences. A friend of mine throws this big St. Patrick's Day party around the Bayshore parade, and there was all sorts of ages there, but three things happened that made me feel so incredibly old, to the point where I left there like hanging my head a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, you are just, you're an old man. Like, there's no two ways about it. The first was the classic, someone comes up to me, "Hey, Gio,
yeah,
my dad loves you."
Happens all the time.
So that's the first one. So that's an obvious one.
Yep.
The second one, some guy comes in, he's dressed as St. Patrick, and he's got like gray dye in his beard to look old. So I'm like, you know, this young kid is putting gray dye in his beard to look old. I've had gray hair in my beard for 15 years.
Well, yes,
now.
In fairness, that's the first place we get it. So it doesn't mean you're old, but I understand that the kid has to do it because he's young. I got you.
And this was the worst one. This one hit me to the core. So our friend Little Boomer, Scott.
Okay.
So Scott is a little person, and it was just wild how the whole thing worked out. Scott actually also went to high school with John Franco. Yes, that John Franco. They played. He was the baseball manager, like the equipment manager for John Franco's high school baseball team in Queens. Yes. So we hire Little Boomer for Boomer and Geo Live, the second one, the first one at the Paramount. We get talking, everything else. Turns out that he does this leprechaun gig at my friend's St. Patty's Day party.
Small world, man.
Yeah, no pun intended. So I'm waiting for him. Because we had plans and he was getting there at a certain time. So I'm waiting for Scott to show up so I could talk to him and see him, you know? And he comes in and the place erupts and they're going, Scotty, Scotty. So I pull out my phone to video his entrance. And I'm smiling, holding the phone. And then this young lady, probably 22 tops, taps me on the shoulder, goes, sir, you're not recording. And I went, thanks. Appreciate that. And I was like, hey, Scott, good to see you, man. I got to go home. I got to get out.
How did you not realize that you didn't see the red thing in the time?
I guess I just opened it up because he walked in and it was surprising. I've got no excuse for this, but this is what I think happened. He walked in. I didn't know he was going to be there at that moment. And then he walks in. So I pulled out the phone. I went to video and I guess I thought I hit it and I wasn't recording. And I got a, sir, you're not recording.
Oh, by the way, the sir part of it also makes you feel old.
Yeah. I was like, it's respectful. That's nice.
It is respectful.
Gen Z person calling me sir, but.
There are a lot of reminders. That is for, I will tell you, for me, when you're looking at rosters now, so Rutgers had Ace Bailey and Dylan Arpa this season, and you see that they were born.
Oh, yeah.
In 2006.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's like 2006. I was here for 9 years already.
Oh, yeah.
2006.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walked the golf course with my son both Friday and Saturday. I woke up like I was crippled yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
The walking.
Like,
yeah.
Getting out of bed, things are cracking. It's like, what has happened?
Yeah, it happens very, very, very quickly.
I understand.
But I don't feel that way until things like this happen. Physically, I'm starting to feel that way, but mentally, I don't.
And nor do I. And the fact, like I said to my wife as well, the fact that I can go out and walk the golf course Friday and Saturday with really no issue at all. Just for whatever reason, Sunday morning, I don't know why, I woke up fine Saturday. Yesterday morning, I felt just old and decrepit. But for the most part, I actually feel okay. My back is held up. I feel okay. But we are not young any longer.
So Little Boomer Scotty had a busy day. So he had a couple of the leprechaun gigs earlier, and there he is as he popped out of the fireplace there as Little Boomer for Boomer Geo Live. And then there was a police officer's retirement party at Rayo's later that night on Saturday, and they had him dress up as the guy who was retiring, and he was going to come out sort of like we had him for Little Boomer. So he's cleaning up this time of year.
His schedule seems like it's pretty packed.
Yeah. I mean, and he does such a great job. That's the thing. And we got a Little Boomer jersey. I forgot that we actually.
Very funny.
Good guy, Scotty. Yeah. And a huge Mets fan, by the way, as we had him and Eddie go toe-to-toe with the Mets numbers.
That's right.
Did you beat him? I forgot. You beat him, didn't you?
I housed him.
You housed him. I thought it was close for a little bit, and then maybe I don't remember, but you housed him.
Eddie is like Allen away. While he is up on his college sports and he does, you know, football on Saturdays, he watches from, you know, morning to night. I don't find he really watches anything else other than SportsCenter. But you ask him about stuff when he was younger.
Yeah, I think we're all like
that. Yeah, maybe, but to a level that blows me away, actually. Like, I watched a lot as a kid. I do remember probably more as a kid than I do as an adult now. But not like these two. It's pretty, I don't know, it's impressive to me.
Well, Beningo was really the best at that.
Yeah, but Joe even remembers today, though, too. That's the crazy thing about his mind. I mean, you can point. Yes, you pull out a game from 1977. He'll give you the week, the score, the players, the stats. But he's pretty good, even if I ask him from last season. His recall is like nothing I've ever seen. These guys, maybe they're stuck in the 80s, but they know what they're talking about.
You know, with Boomer, it's interesting because he'll give you like play-by-play of a game-winning drive that he had in 1989. Mm-hmm. But then he won't remember that he showed me the same Instagram reel and back-to-back breaks. You know?
I know.
It's like, how does that happen?
I know. Well, you know what? I will tell you too, and we've talked about this before, you know, the morning after calling it, like if you ask me right now for the stats of yesterday's Minnesota game, you got to give me a minute.
Yeah.
I remember sort of, but I wouldn't have any great detail. I'd have to think about it and maybe even refer to the box score to refresh my memory. It was just yesterday. It wasn't even 24 hours ago.
Yep.
Crazy.
Let's go to Matt. He's calling from Staten Island. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you today?
Good, man. What's up?
All right, so I had a little funny story about the whole, like, I'm in my 40s, and it's, like, kind of getting awful. So I'm a school teacher. I'm a phys ed teacher in Staten Island. And, you know, I teach all day, this and that, and we had this new substitute teacher, 27 years old, smoking hot, right? So every now and then I notice, you know, she's coming around the gym to ask me where this classroom is or how these kids are or this and that. So I kind of think she's like flirting me with a little bit. So I feel like great. I got my bravado going. I'm feeling awesome. Only to find out like 3 weeks later, she's trying to set me up with a 52-year-old mother.
Oh, God. Oh, Matt. Oh, that one hurts. Oh, that one really hurts.
That's tough.
You could probably take a little bit of solace in the fact, though, that she must have found you somewhat engaging and attractive, right? In order to say, like, oh, this guy would be perfect for my mom.
Yes.
She's not repulsed by you, but obviously.
Very nice.
Yeah.
But when you think that the younger, attractive female is into you,
sure.
Only to find out that she has no interest in you. And she's thinking about her mom, which is nice. It's not quite the same thing.
Little Boomer says, stop it, by the way, Eddie. It was 5-4, and he was up 2-0 at one point. That's what he says.
Oh, you didn't house him then. Is that real? Was it 5-4?
That's not how I'm remembering it.
Speaking of memories.
Fair enough.